What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there. After a 22-10 Eagles playoff victory over the Green Bay Packers, onto the divisional round and on to either Minnesota or Los Angeles on Sunday at the link. Look, that was never a doubt for me. That was not a pretty offensive performance, but I never had doubt during the game they were going to win the game. The defense was unbelievable. The offense did enough. Jalen Hurts made enough plays early and then a little bit later, and obviously in the middle was a lot of blah. But the Eagles win that game by 12. It really could have been more. I mean, look, Saquon sat down at the end. I mean, he runs for that. All of a sudden, it's in, what, a 19-point victory. I didn't have any doubt they'd beat the Green Bay Packers. That was a lock before the game started. Green Bay wasn't ready for this, but the Eagles showed up, especially on the defensive side of the football. All right, let's get into it. I got six game balls to give out after the Eagles take down the Packers and move on to the divisional round of the NFC playoffs. Game ball number one will start early. I'm going to go with Oren Burks, who now, unfortunately, with the injury to N'Kobe Dean, seems like Oren's going to have to play a way bigger role here. But that was a tone setter. What a smash of a hit on the opening kickoff, forcing the fumble, recovered by Jeremiah Trotter Jr., and away it went. I did the pregame show yesterday. Such a great crowd out there. We had so much fun doing the pregame. We'll do it again this coming Sunday. But, my process is I usually leave the game, leave the stadium, hop in the car, and I run home. I have the game on DVR. I'll listen to the first, maybe a quarter or so in the car ride home, and then I'll start over. But obviously, I'm listening. And I heard it, and I heard the roar of the crowd and the call by Merrill and Mike, and I knew something big was about to happen there with the Oren Burks smash. Big, big-time play, force into action, did a decent enough job. I do worry about Burks in pass coverage. He's a little bit of a liability there, so we'll see how it goes against, Aaron Jones, Kyron Williams, eventually Jahmyr Gibbs, if we get there in an NFC Championship game. But I thought Oren Burks deserved the game ball for setting the tone, causing the fumble, and really starting this thing off on the right foot for the Philadelphia Eagles. So Oren Burks, number one. Number two, and the guy I could do a whole podcast about, Nolan Smith. I am blown away. I am blown away. The transformation to Brandon Graham 2.0 is complete. He is, when he was drafted, and it was one of the first, when we launched WIP Daily, when I started doing this podcast back in, I guess that was what, spring 23? Was that the time it was? I think something like that. Spring 2023. I did the podcast and we started it right around draft time. And I had my big board and guys I wanted. And I was such a Nolan Smith guy. His speed, his energy, his personality, his power, even though he was a smaller guy. His production in college. I just thought he, and there was something about his personality that was infectious. I felt like he was like the ringleader of those great Georgia guys. And then you get to the NFL and you hear him talk. I'm like, this is Brandon Graham 2.0. They have the next BG here in terms of everything about him. And then almost, similar to Brandon Graham, maybe not as dramatic, but the beginning was choppy. He didn't do much in his rookie year. Even in the beginning of this year, not doing much. They had him on the field in you know, the end of preseason playing snaps in the final preseason game. It felt like they didn't believe in him. First couple games this year, not much. Brandon Graham playing a lot more than we expected as an older player. And yet as the year went on, you started noticing more and more big plays out of Nolan Smith. I first probably noticed him in the Browns game. He shed a blocker and made a great play on Deshaun Watson as Watson was rolling right, trying to throw a touchdown or create a play inside the red zone. And it really helped the Eagles finish that football game. And I was like, that's one of the best plays he's made in the NFL. And you just kind of watch him grow and grow and grow, and 6.5 sacks during the season. And yesterday, he was one of the best players on the field. 8 tackles, 5 pressures, 4 hurries, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss. He was a remarkable, remarkable player yesterday. That sack he had where he kind of shot inside and then Love rolled back outside and he caught him. He chased it down. Love doesn't take sacks. To get Jordan Love to the ground like that was outrageous. What a play. We're talking about a player here. He's the youngest player in Eagles history to record multiple sacks in a playoff game. Think about that for a second. And I made the parallel to BG because BG's career started off choppy. You know, he got hurt. He was kind of playing out of position in a different system. It took him years to get going to where we use the word bust on Brandon Graham. And it's funny now because Brandon Graham is this gregarious, you know, guy that the whole fan base loves and he loves him back and he comes on WIP. But it wasn't always like that. Brandon Graham, you know, he went on a blocking spree on Twitter for his own mental health. He couldn't handle all the negative feedback. And it wasn't quite that bad for Nolan. It was a shorter period of time from draft pick to now, you know, playing a big role. But the point remains that there was talk of him being a bust and just maybe not worth the first round pick. And, you know, guys they could have had over him, a guy like Brian Branch, who we might see in an NFC championship game. And it doesn't mean it was the perfect pick, right? Branch might be a better player, or Joey Porter or whatever. But Nolan Smith's making a real case that he was the right pick and a great pick by Howie Roseman. Right now, he's the best pass rusher. And right now, if I need a sack in a big spot this coming Sunday against Darnold or Matthew Stafford, I'm looking to Nolan Smith to make that play. What a play yesterday. What an effort yesterday by Nolan Smith. He was outstanding. He gets a game goal. Number 3 for me is Zach Bond. What a signing. What a player. He is now, I think, with the injury to N'Kobe, which is obviously going to impact his future here in Philadelphia. I mean, N'Kobe was extension eligible this offseason. That's not going to happen now. And, you know, we don't even know when he's going to get back on the field. Is that a full year thing? We, you know, we saw Sidney Brown get hurt in week 18 last year, and he didn't become a starter this year again. You know, he got back at some point during the season, but he was on the PUP list. You know, it impacted how the Eagles built their roster this year by going out and getting Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. So I think it severely changes the reality of N'Kobe Dean's future in Philadelphia. It severely impacts the reality of how they build the linebacking core, if they use a draft pick on a linebacker this year. And I think it makes it imperative they re-sign Zach Bond. But let's just keep it to the game balls for this game. Incredible. He almost had picks on back-to-back plays. He almost had one, and then he got one right before halftime. He's all over the place. Early in the game, there was a play where someone else cleaned up the tackle, but he blew the play up. He's everywhere. He has been one of the great under-the-radar signings in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles. I really believe that. Now that you watch him play for a full year, an all-pro, wrecking a playoff game, you know, keeping Josh Jacobs, one of the best runners in the NFL, in check. Just and you expect it now. You expect it. You know, we joke on the Midday Show that he's now the number 53 in Philadelphia Eagles history. Obviously, the joke is that he's kind of taking that mantle from Hugh. But, man. What a player. And you know, you go into this and you kind of wonder, all right, the regular season. How will he perform on the biggest stage? No different. That was the same N'Kobe Dean game, same Zach Bond game we've seen all year. Really high-level play, playmaker, a combination of pass rush ability and range like an outside backer, but smarts like an inside backer. And he just blows plays up over and over and over again. He makes life hell on opposing offenses, and he did it the entire game. So impressed with the play of Zach Bond. He gets game ball number 3. All right, game ball number 4. Let's go ahead and give it to Darius Slay. He's still doing it, man. 34 years old, his first career playoff interception. That was a beautiful interception. To track that, to watch it in, and the combination of being able to hold off the receiver, still play pass defense, and kind of keep his leverage and keep his arm on the wide receiver and feel where the wide receiver was, but at the same time peeking back and tracking the ball like a receiver, but not getting too jumpy for it. You know, he could have there's a world there where maybe a younger corner realizes he's got some leverage in the kind of where the two of them are, right? Because the receiver's trailing. He's further down the field. The corner is behind him a little bit by a step, and you got to judge that ball, because if it's an overthrow or a better throw, well, then the receiver's in big position, because he's going to be able to, he's ahead. He's got a half a step on Darius Slay. But you got to read that. If it's an underthrow, you don't want to get too jumpy and jump too early, and then the guy catches it behind you. I think about that famous Jacoby Jones catch in Denver in the playoffs when the Ravens won their Super Bowl in 2012. But, you know, the corner kind of thought he had it and jumped too early, and then Jones was behind him with nobody. So you have to be patient, read the throw, read the trajectory, realize it's going to be an underthrow, but I don't have to do much. If we just keep going stride for stride here, it's going to land in my arms. And then to have it kind of to not get too jumpy, to not put your hands up to where the receiver is going to jump over you to knock it out of your hands, to let it fall in your hands, that was big-time stuff out of Darius Slay. What a great play. You know, in and out of the game again yesterday in the medical 10 and back inside, he took a hit. But, you know, I've had my ups and downs with Slay in the past, and a year ago I thought they would dump him. They didn't. And I am very impressed with how Darius Slay has adapted this year at 34 years old to still play at a high level, to fit into Vic Fangio's defense. He's played more physically. He's tackled more than he has in the past. I think he's been rejuvenated by playing with all these young guys in the secondary, by playing with Aquinyon Mitchell and helping him learn. I think it has been, in a weird way, really good for Darius Slay that they drafted two corners in the first two rounds. Usually you would say that's a negative thing. That's a bad thing, because that means it's likely the end of his career coming up here in Philadelphia. But I don't feel that with Darius Slay. I didn't feel that the entire season, that it was a big thing to where he would take so negatively to it. He's been a great teammate about it. He's helped those guys, and you know, they love him, and he's still playing at a high level, and he's helped those guys out. Big play. Hat tip to Howie Roseman for recognizing there's still a lot left with Darius Slay, and he's provided it this season for the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, game ball number five, Dallas Goedert. We got to go to someone on offense. What a play. A tone resetting play. He finished four catches with 47 yards. The four catches give him now 39 in the postseason. One more than Chad Lewis for the most in Eagles history. Most playoff catches for a tight end in Eagles history. That now belongs to Dallas Goedert. That stiff arm, you know, a little comparison. Rob Gronkowski on the broadcast by Tom Brady. You had Sirianni compare it to a play that he had in 2022. Talk about how there's nobody better in the NFL with the ball in their hands and pushing people away. I'd probably argue Derrick Henry, but alas, Dallas Goedert's good at it. You know, we have this thing with Goddard where he disappears because he's hurt a lot of times, and then he comes back like, oh yeah, he can really play. He's an impact player when he's out there, and you never know how much you're getting out of him. But as long as he's healthy, he can make a play like that a game. Great check by Jalen. Great reception and run by Dallas Goedert. And really, as the game got into slog territory, I thought it really reaffirmed, all right, Eagles got this. Their defense is not going to buckle here. They're going to be fine. They're going to win this football game. Big, big play by Dallas Goedert when the Eagles needed it most. And my final game ball goes to the offensive line. It wasn't easy. You know, that front and that defense for the Packers is good, and they had gotten way better as the season went on as a run defense, which we talked about last week with Edgerrin Cooper. It was more of a grinded out rushing attack, a lot of ones, twos, threes, minus twos, but then they had some 16s, 17s. Saquon could have broke it at the end. He decided to slide. The game was over, but they got over it well over 100 yards. They ran the ball effectively, and the play that really, when you're going to go back and watch a highlight of this play, if there's going to be an offensive play, it's the touchdown early, the first drive after the turnover, after the Oren Burks forced fumble. Jalen Hurst to Jahan Dotson, 6.75 seconds. You could watch football for the next 50 years. You might not see a quarterback stay in the pocket to throw a pass for 6.75 seconds. You know, you had the McNabb scramble against the Cowboys back in 04. I mean, you have those crazy plays once in a while where a quarterback will, you know, effectively do that, where he'll run around and he'll make a ton of plays and all that kind of stuff. Like, that will happen, but you very rarely have a play where a quarterback could stay in the pocket for that long and still make the play. You had it right there. He didn't, I mean, and at first you felt like Jalen almost thought he had to move. Like he was about to bail the pocket. He's like, wait a second, the pocket's growing. The pocket's getting bigger. No defender got within 2.5 feet. 2.5 feet of Jalen Hurts on that. It set the tone. They were good against a good front, and they made a clear and concise effort to be this kind of dominant, and I mean dominant offensive line the entire season. They did it. Big-time effort by the best unit on this football team. The defense and the offensive line are the best units on the football team. We've known that the entire season, and they've won this way the entire season. They've been a championship contender like this at the end of September. This is their formula. This is what they do. It's not about the quarterback. It is clearly around here about the offensive line, and it's about the defense. And that's what showed up. I mean, you wonder, can they win it all playing this way? And I've wondered that. And I do think as the rounds go on, they're going to need more to their quarterback. But to beat a Packers team that limped in here and had a ton of injuries during the game, I mean, that, you know, yesterday really showed you why the bye is such an important thing in the NFL, why the Lions and the Chiefs are the advantage as this tournament goes on, because not only are they rested, they didn't lose players this week. You know, they didn't lose the Kobe Dean. And think about the Packers, unbelievable amount of injuries they had in that game. I mean, when that left guard went out, when Jenkins went out, their chances to win that game really fell. I mean, that kid, that first guy that came in, I mean, he couldn't block anybody. It was penalty after penalty after penalty. It was egregious how bad it was for the Green Bay Packers with their offensive line after that. They lost linebackers, lost a corner, they lost everybody in that football game. But here's the bottom line. The Eagles were better. They took care of business. The six game balls given out after the wild card round. Oren Burks, Nolan Smith, Zach Bond, Darius Slay, Dallas Goedert, and the entire offensive line. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, Chris's YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there.